Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 201. So today I have John Kaplan of Teledevelopment with us. John is the CEO and president and founder of Teledevelopment. Now, Teledevelopment is one of the grandfathers of the industry. It has been going 25 years, which is as old as the industry is itself. John was responsible for bringing over some of the original outsourcing clients and facilitating some of the original deals and basically getting the original outsourcing projects off the ground here in the Philippines. So it's really great to have John on board. In this episode, we talk about John's own journey and his observations of the industry over these last 25 years. So it's a really interesting conversation. I certainly learned a lot. John very much deals in the big end of the market, or certainly has done historically. And, you know, it's incredible to get that different perspective from what certainly I commonly talk about on this podcast, which is more SME, small business oriented. So it's been a fascinating talk, and I've certainly enjoyed it and learned a lot myself. If you want to get in touch with John or learn any more about Teledevelopment, of course, all of the contact notes are in our show notes, and you can find that at outsourceaccelerator.com/201. Enjoy. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today, I am super excited about being joined by John Kaplan of Teledevelopment. He is the CEO and president of Teledevelopment. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Derek.
Thanks for joining us. And John, I'm going to let you introduce yourself because you can do it far better than I. But you know, you are the president and CEO and founder of Teledevelopment, which is, it's been going as long as the industry itself. Teledevelopment has been around for about 25 years now, and it's a full service BPO solutions company serving the BPO industry over here. So really excited to have you today. I suppose initially, do you want to just give people a brief introduction to who you are and how you found yourself here?
Sure. I don't know if I'm one of the grandfathers or forefathers of the industry, but certainly like to think of myself as a thought leader. Started Teledevelopment Services in the U.S. 28 years ago. And so I have three companies, Teledevelopment US, Teledevelopment Philippines, which is a fully registered Philippine company, and a company here called Work.ph. So those three organizations are kind of an HR support services organization to the industry. We got started actually quite early. We won a contract in 1999 to support one of the first startups here in the Philippines, a company called eTelecare.
Right.
That was pretty exciting. We ended up designing some training and balanced scorecard to quality and sent some trainers from the U.S. over to the Philippines in first quarter of 2000 to help get them started. So we've been here as a registered company now for 15 years, but have been servicing the market for quite some time.
Right, so you know, I often write and comment that the industry is about 25 years old, and you know, you were right at the forefront of that. I suppose just as a bit of background, we might just kind of rewind completely, and if you can give us a bit of introduction to yourself and how you found yourself at the forefront of this development of this, you know, nascent or brand new industry 28 years ago. I understand there's a little bit of magic involved in that journey.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. Oddly enough, and some of the people that know me here in the industry know that my first passion is really, I used to be a professional magician, and I paid 100% of my college performing, had the pleasure of traveling 16 countries in Europe, and purely by accident, magic got my foot in the door in what we didn't even call BPO, call center, BPM, but got me involved in inside sales back in 1979. So my BPO career, BPM career, if you will, spans 39 years. I first was an employee of the B.F. Goodrich Company, where we actually sold tire franchises over the telephone in nooks and crannies of the U.S. where it was too much windshield time for a field salesperson. And we built a wildly successful business there. And then after 5 years with Goodrich, I was recruited by General Motors and moved to Detroit and built an inside sales, telesales operation as an employee of General Motors. And then was speaking at a conference because I had that General Motors badge behind me and was solicited by a third-party service agency to join as VP of Business Development. Because still back in my early parts of my career, the telephone used for business to business was pretty rare. It was mostly business to consumer use. So long, long story short, took that experience as working in a service agency, started up my own service agency called Summit Marketing Services. It was a boutique call center serving the automotive industry. And for your listeners, get this. Back in the day, we used to charge $37.50 an hour for business-to-business, high-end business-to-business work. Sold that company and started Teledevelopment 28 years ago. So that's kind of the high-level overview.
Wow. And so the evolution then into... Because it's interesting to see the tracking then of, you know, there's initially telesales, I suppose, even, and all of these were internal structures. And then, you know, you started with the outsourcing of the services so that people could buy into that expertise and those services. But they were still onshore, you know, and still very much localized. But also they were very limited then to telesales, I suppose, potentially a bit of customer service, but anything that can be done over the phone, because obviously there was no kind of data, internet, you know, and so capacity was really limited. But what, you know, fast forward 25 years, did you ever sort of foresee that outsourcing would have taken this trajectory? And, you know, in terms of just now people flooding over, people seeing it as very normalized, but also in terms of the breadth of roles, functionalities, kind of operational expertise that is outsourced.
Yeah, I'd love to fast forward and talk about today, but let me do that with just a quick retrospect. So here in the Philippines, we have an organization, as many know, called IBPAP, IT Business Processing Association of the Philippines. Back in the U.S. in 1994, I was the national president of a much larger organization at that time called the ATA. And when you talk about transformation, the ATA at that time stood for the American Telemarketing Association.
Right.
And, you know, telemarketing then became kind of a dirty T word, if you will, with some of the legislation and do not call. And they changed their names to American Teleservices Association. More inbound, more friendly. But today, with omni-channel type applications, and we can talk about that, even that trade association has changed its name into PACE, the Professional Association for Customer Experience. So if you look at the evolution, you know, whether we call ourselves contact centers, BPO, BPM, omni-channel providers, I mean, the reality is customer mindset has changed dramatically over the years. And as an industry, we've had to change to meet the needs, the growing needs, the changing needs of the consumer. And today, having, you know, typically a single focus solution isn't good enough. You have to be where the eyeballs are. You have to be where the customer wants to be. And so that's forcing a lot of change in dynamics through, you know, RPA, chat, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So henceforth, it's changing significantly the way people have to think about supporting the industry and the hiring needs and the skills up training that's going to be required to continue to support the growth.
And how have you sort of seen the progression of adoption of this outsourcing more generally, teleservices, in terms of the user base? It was always, I imagine, the big conglomerates that really accessed this stuff before, and now it's spreading out into the SMEs. And because of the SME spread, they need more kind of broader roles, more agile roles. Have you, what are your thoughts on that evolution of the market?
Geopolitical concerns aside, which could be another topic.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
The U.S. marketplace, which is still the single largest, most dominant outsource provider, certainly other markets are catching up quickly, but there's a lack of jobs in the U.S. Even with the desire to create, nationalism and bring jobs back and the desire to continue to repatriate some of the opportunities, the reality is it's not going to happen the way many people think it might happen. There's a shortage of desirable workforce in the U.S. that want these jobs. And when you look at markets like the Philippines and other developing nations that really aspire to succeed in this industry with delight, with great customer service skills, with the sheer desire to succeed, it's hard to compete. And companies that have already made their footprint offshore, they're multinational organizations. They can't decide just to turn back, and they're not going to. And there's a plethora of small to medium-sized companies that need the support from both a labor arbitrage as well as a service perspective that countries like the Philippines has to offer. There won't be a shortage of opportunity. We're not going to see the double-digit growth that we've experienced in years past, but we'll still see high single-digit growth.
Yeah, and it's good that you touched on that, because I think businesses ultimately they're obliged to move towards greater efficiency, aren't they? And that's regardless of countries and borders and things like that. It's efficiency with the parameters of quality, and it ultimately kind of will win out over any kind of geopolitical intentions, I suppose. I suppose staying on that subject, where do you see that ending? If people are actually trying to alter the course of this, do you think that it will have an impact, or do you think that this evolution will continue regardless of kind of geopolitical intentions?
Yeah, I think the future continues to be bright for a long time to come. I think, in today's world, besides, Trump and Duterte, their mouth getting in the way sometimes. You might want to edit that. I don't know. I think the biggest fear factors for continued growth would be some data privacy issues. Some legislative issues around data protection. And I also believe as long as social media continues to be a very accepted means of e-commerce and communication, not a problem. There's been some backlash recently, but it's going to be very, very pale in comparison to what the opportunities for growth are on the superhighway.
And where do you see the role expansion of outsourcing going? Because before the internet, it was telephone-based services. And as you mentioned, it kind of started off in outbound sales, a lot of the more predatory stuff. Then maybe it went into inbound assistance, which probably evolved into customer service. But then really the floodgates opened when the internet happened, and the capability of things built on the internet really kind of exploded. And now, and maybe I have a slightly different perspective to you, but I'm seeing the majority of people that are starting outsourcing over here, the SMEs that are doing it, they're, you know, it's not so much about telesales, it's not so much about reaching out, but it's more about getting back office stuff done. It's about getting accounts done, marketing done, digital, you know, functions. Are you seeing that in the sort of bigger end of the market? And, you know, do you, because I sort of ultimately see that effectively anything that can be done in front of a computer monitor will eventually be outsourced and has that potential now. Where do you see the spread of the industry provision from its original days of effectively, well, you know, outbound sales?
No question, Derek, that the landscape has changed significantly and is tilted in a huge way towards the things that you've just expounded on. You know, the biggest concern from an industry perspective, whether it be voice or non-voice for that matter, is automation. And, you know, other individuals that have spoken with you as well, you know, articulate the fact that over the next 5 years plus, you know, a minimum of 20% of these transactional types of transactions or experiences are going to go to the wayside. Through bots and automation. And so I wouldn't necessarily say anything that can be done in front of the computer, because some of that's going to become self-fulfilling through automation. But I would say that from an SME perspective as well as from a big boy perspective, back office, non-voice, finance, healthcare, you know, e-commerce, it's changing significantly. Today, instead of taking phone calls, we're doing content modification. You know, we're doing a lot of digitalization of functions that were formerly, you know, voice related. So I see huge opportunities for SMEs to develop specialization, whether it be IT related, finance related, analytics related, on and on. But I think you've got to find your place, and your place in this market in terms of real growth is leaning much more towards non-voice.
Yeah, because, you know, as I mentioned, you know, as we talk about it, obviously was really only voice when there were only telephones, but now with the internet, it really opens it up, doesn't it? But having said that, you know, and I am personally in contact with far more operational activities, but apparently still the statistics say that about 60% of the outsourcing employment here in the Philippines is still voice-based work, sales-based work, customer service-based work. So, you know, it still has that incredibly large, strong foundation of its original roots, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, I don't think that's necessarily going to go away anytime soon, but we just need to continue to provide more options. So for those that feel most comfortable, you know, transacting via chat, via telephone, so be it. But we also have to provide other avenues, which the more progressive companies are.
Do you find in the big end of town, there is a, I don't know what it's called, but sort of a greater skill adoption, and they bring more and more operational activities into the country? I mean, I know that certainly happens with SMEs. They might start with a bit of bookkeeping, and then they move into far more operational activities. Mm-hmm. And I know Deutsche Bank as well, you know, they have a back-end operation here. They started with customer service, but now they're getting, you know, PhDs here that are doing the most complex mathematical modeling. Do you see that with the bigger end of town, or do they just kind of stick to customer service and don't really branch out?
No, I think they're doing both. They're trying to branch out as fast as they can, because if they don't, they're going to be left behind. But they can't they can't forget about their core business. So, I mean, to your point, you know, some of the bigger boys that are the well-known brands here, they're probably doing much more than 60% voice.
Mm.
You know, when you talk about the T-Techs, the Sitels, the Teleperformances, the Convergises, et cetera, it's not until you get into, you know, some of the financial services organizations, the Accentures of the world, things of that nature that perhaps, you know, have a much, much lower percent of voice versus non-voice.
Mm.
But, it's apparent everywhere. I mean, if you look at the healthcare industry as an example, and, you know, it used to be medical transcription, then it went to medical coding. But now, even though medical coding is still very, very important and very popular, that's going to be highly automated here in the next few years. So instead of people doing coding of medical records, they're going to be doing data checking and quality and QA work of large databases of information. So again, the transactional type of stuff is very threatened. You've got to skill up, and I would suggest to the SMEs to look for these niche types of opportunities where they can build some dominance and speciality and be a more select provider.
Mm. And so we've kind of gone back to the beginning of the industry, but where do you see the evolution of the industry? I mean, in another 25 years, it's just going to be another world, I think, you know, sort of in terms of international trade and networks. But where do you see the industry maybe in 10 years from now in terms of the breadth of offering, in terms of the adoption rates from the West? Well, what's the trend?
That's a great question. Like it or not, robotics will have major impact and influence in the way we think, in the way we transact, in the way we carry on our daily lives, whether it be from... So robotics is going to play a big part. I think, we're going to continue to be in a much smarter, automated age. You know, we'll continue to become more Airbnb and Uberized in terms of how we transact. Quite frankly, I think the next 10 years is going to be very, very exciting, and it's going to be very, very scary. Because I think the West will continue to increase its demands on how they're served.
Mm-hmm.
I think this whole aspect of 3D printing and other 4D technologies that are going to impact our lives will be very prominent. And I think in 10 years' time, the way we do business today will be very, very different.
Mm. Yeah, incredible change sort of on the horizon, isn't there? And do you see a day when I call it the pyramid flipping upside down, where the vast majority of US companies are kind of completely outsourced to a destination like the Philippines, where you have the entire corporate hierarchy here? I mean, that's an extreme, but, you know, where kind of corporate hierarchies are really built here as opposed to just supplemental departments.
I don't know if I have that shared vision. I see significant growth, unparalleled growth in shared services operations. I think more and more things will become outsourced. But in terms of the hierarchy and turning the pyramid upside down, yeah, I think a lot of the key operational support will come from markets like the Philippines. But again, these are multinational organizations that will continue to have headquartered presence in pretty dominant markets.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean that's key to be sort of dominant in the market where you're dominant, really, isn't it? Fantastic. So, just to come back to tele development, and I want to get you back so we can deep dive into exactly what tele development is. But you founded this in some form or another about 25 years ago, and you're really, I don't know, I'm kind of bastardizing this, but you're almost a BPO to BPOs. You provide outsourcing solutions, support, strategy, and services to the thriving BPO sector. So you probably have better insight than most into the machinations of the sector. So incredible opportunity to talk about that. I suppose if anyone wants to learn any more about tele development and about yourself and or get in touch with tele development, how can they do that?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. First of all, teledevelopment.com. Teledevelopment.com is certainly the easiest way to find us, or work, work.ph. Work.ph is the easiest way to find us. And of course, that would have all of our contact information there. And I would like to just share that we've been very blessed. I've been very blessed. I've over the span of my career, I've been in and over 750 contact centers globally, or BPOs globally. And so I think what our clients appreciate most is the amalgamation of best practices and real-world solutions that we can bring. Even though I'm quite old in the industry, that leads to a lot of experience and a lot of exposure. And we continue to learn and we continue to share. We do about 4 to 6 startups a year of companies coming into the market. And we serve over 100 entities, BPOs here on an annual basis. So we've been fortunate. We see a lot. We get exposed to a lot. We learn a lot and we share a lot. So I would say the best way to reach out would be teledevelopment.com, or feel free to give me a call on my mobile if you'd like, and I'll share that with you. 0920 952-7335.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, John. And of course, we'll put all of that in the show notes. And thank you for your time. And I look forward to getting you back so we can actually deep dive into what tele development offers.
I look forward to that, Derek. Thanks.
Okay, that was John Kaplan of Tele Development. I'm sure that you learned a lot from that, enjoyed that, hopefully. So, if you want to get in touch with John or want to know any more about tele development or anything we discussed in this podcast, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/201. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.